best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Good morning, or maybe good afternoon if you've tuned in at 5:30. You're tuning into God's frequency today. God's got a word for you today, like he always does when we go to where he speaks. It's going to come out of the book of Galatians. We're in chapter 3. Right off the bat, Paul calls them fools, that someone has snowed these people, someone has deceived them. He uses the word baskaino in Greek, only time that word's in the New Testament. That means to cast an evil eye on someone, or a spell, like a witch throwing eye of newt into a bubbling cauldron, is what someone did to these people to have them no longer believe that salvation comes through grace alone, by faith alone. But in addition to that, you gotta keep these rules. For believing that, the Apostle Paul calls them fools. That's where we're at here today. And this will be the last part of this message that started yesterday. I invite you guys to church tomorrow night. We'd love to see you. My associate pastor is going to be teaching this one chapter book, this letter from Paul, to someone named Philemon. And that should be really interesting. I'm really looking forward to that. That probably will last 3 weeks. And so that's what's going on tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 1000 North Banana River Drive here in Merritt Island. Okay, here we go. This is part two of this message now. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?
All right, verse 3. He continues grilling them for this. He says, are you so stupid? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? All right, so the Holy Spirit has done this entire change in your life, and you're born again with a new heart. And now at this stage, you say to God, all right, God, I've got it from here. Thanks. From now on, I'm going to keep rules to be right with you. I started off in the faith, and now that all that stuff is done, I'm going to keep the law in order to please you and in order to remain in a right standing with you, God. I'm going to keep all of your rules in order to do that. Church, if that's your reasoning, you've missed it. God didn't save you to enable you to keep rules. God saved you because he loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. God saved you because he loves you and wants you to spend eternity with him. You've missed it. That's not what the law was all about. The law was to get you on the knees to cry out to God saying, I can't do this. I need help. Enter in your help. Amen. The Son of God. That's the whole purpose. He desires to have fellowship with you. He desires to be reconciled back to you, or better yet, he desires you to be reconciled back to him. Don't work to keep rules. And I'll tell you why. Because you already have it inside of yourself as a Holy Spirit-filled believer. You have it in yourself already what it takes to please God. You lack nothing. You already have it. Listen to this scripture as I gasp for water. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus was a pastor. Paul wrote him a letter to encourage him, to help him. Whew. Hot in here, isn't it? God help me. This is in defense to people who say, oh, you tell people don't follow rules and don't keep the commandments. You're just giving your congregation a license to sin. This is my response to that. Okay? Titus chapter 2, listen to what Paul says. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us so that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You see, instead of trying to keep rules to please God, Paul is saying here that God has already done the work on the inside of you for you to accomplish what you could never do before. Again, he gave himself for us so that he might redeem us. That means to buy out of the slave market. Redeem us for every good deed and purify for himself. You didn't do it. He did it. Salvation is of the Lord. All you need to do is cry out to him for help, and he'll help you every time. He purified for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You see, you want to do good now because of what he's done on the inside of you, not because you read in a book it said, do good or else. You've got the Holy Spirit now, and it's your desire to do good. Remember what I've said before. You're either chained, right? You're a slave of sin, or you're a slave of righteousness. That is, you're chained to it. You are chained to sin, or you are chained to righteousness. That is, you're compelled today to do good. Like when David woke up one day, he said, is there anyone left from the house of Saul that I can do something good for today? But you didn't do it. And you didn't acquire that from reading it in a book. It happened to you because you are what we call born again. It's not a bald-headed monk holding a sign at an airport. It's you being born again. You've got a new heart. God got rid of your old one, and he gave you a new one. That's how you do this. It's not a license to sin. You're chained to righteousness now, and you want to do good. I'll show you how much good you want to do. Let's go over here, and let's open up the bank book to this church. Let's see how much money we gave for Walk for Bibles. Let's see how much money was given to kids out here that don't have a loaf of bread. You see, you're chained to it. We're overflowing with money at this church because you are chained to it. Who can I do good to today? All I do is just kind of light the fire a little bit, right? We have a need here. Does anyone want to step up and meet this need? Step back and let God work. And doesn't he? Praise God. I just want you to see me telling you you can't keep rules to be right with God is not a license to sin. It's just showing you that, as we're going to read next week, the Bible says the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ so that we might be by faith. That's what we're going to find out next week, should the Lord tarry. That's good news. Paul taught the greatest mystery the world has ever known is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Colossians 1:27. The greatest mystery this world has ever known is that God had a plan, and in his plan, he was going to deposit himself on the inside of you. That was his great plan from the ages. Carried out on the day of Pentecost. And all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus. All who call on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. With the heart, one believes. Like I said, God's given you the gift of faith. It's on the inside of you. You're waiting for something to activate it. And once you hear it, here I am, Lord. Count me in. With the heart, one believes. With the mouth, confession is made. Just like we did last week, right, Tim, in the baptism, right? I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord. And he's born again. Wants to do good now with his life. But these Galatians thumbed their nose at the greatest mystery of all time, and they said, no, thank you. We'd rather keep rules. And that's why Paul calls them stupid. You see, that's stupid. To blow off the cross in exchange for you trying to keep rules. Sorry, but Darren, that's stupid. And you're stupid if you do that. And you say, well, I've never been so insulted. That's a thank you. Hang around for a little while. I'll insult you some more and call you stupid again. The end result is I want you to understand and see that salvation is of the Lord. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. And the rules in the Bible are designed to show you that you can't keep them and that you need help. Amen. And that the Bible in its rules says the wages of sin is death. You need help. The Bible's just condemned you to hellfire. You need help. What? This is why he's so sore at them. I'll move on. That's why he called them that. Back to the text. Are you so foolish? Haven't begun or haven't started out in the spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Then he says, verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Now he said that because the Galatians, everyone in the first century, they were persecuted for believing in Christ. So they were punished there, severely beaten for becoming Christians. Verse 5, more reasoning. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Because why is God using you? Why is God working through you? Is he working through you because you're keeping his rules? Or is he working through you because you heard the gospel and you believe? Right. You heard the gospel and you believe. Verse 5, therefore, okay, now building off of faith, he's going to introduce Abraham and apply that same reasoning to him. Starts with the words just as, verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Paul is saying here that not all Jewish people are sons and daughters of Abraham. Only those who believe God and believe in his word. Jesus in the book of Revelation will say the same thing. Revelation 2:9, he goes, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Revelation 3:9, I will make those that are a synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, they are liars. You're not just a Jew because you were born of a Jew. He's saying you are a Jew if you are a spiritual son of Abraham. And to be a spiritual son or daughter of Abraham, you've got to have faith. Jesus said Abraham rejoiced to see his day. And he saw it and was glad. All right, now just a little more on Honest Abe here. The scripture, I'm in verse 8, Galatians 3:8. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations will be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Or you could say Abraham, the man of faith. All right, now hear me here. Help us understand this book better. The main reason Paul's going back to Abraham here is because it was erroneous Jewish believers who had gone in after he left and were trying to get the Galatians to keep the law in order to be right with God. And Paul's saying that just because you're Jewish doesn't make you a son or daughter of Abraham. If you were a true son of Abraham, you would believe the gospel. You would believe Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. You would believe faith plus nothing equals salvation. You would believe that. Like Abraham believed it. Last verse, verse 10. Listen to what he says. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. As many. Everyone out here that tries to keep the Old Testament Ten Commandments, not to be a good person, but to be right with God, or to be saved, or to maintain your position with God by trying to keep rules. That's what people do today. As many as are of the works of the law, Holy Spirit saved you, but now you're going to maintain your standing with God by keeping rules. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things written in the book of the law to do them. So he's saying, okay, we can do it your way if you want. You want to now live according to the Old Testament commandments in order to be right with God. But keep in mind, this is what it's like now. Introducing the hammer. So, the hammer applies to those three words. For as many. This is for all of you that want to keep rules. Don't worry, I won't slam it. This is for as many people that want to keep rules in order to be right with God. This is like the sword of Damocles. It's the hammer of God. And it's hanging over your forehead. Now, Jesus' half-brother James said this. He said, whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one thing is guilty of the whole book. Is that what you want? See, this is why he called them stupid. God had done a great work with these people. He saved them. They were saved by grace. That is, they didn't deserve it, that means. That means God reaches out. He saves you on your worst day when you are a sinner and you didn't give a rip about God. God reached down. He took you and took your feet out of the muck and he set your feet up upon the rock and saved you when you didn't deserve it or do anything worthy, because you can't do anything worthy. His grace saved you by faith. And now he leaves, and then these people come in and say, no, that's not good enough. You got to go back. They said, you can't eat pork. If you want to be saved, you can't eat pork anymore. You can't eat shellfish anymore. You got to go back to keep the Jewish law in order to be right with God. And, of course, you got to be circumcised because God told Moses or Abraham, you got to be. So now they're adding rules to be right with God. And he is saying, okay, if you want to add rules, remember, you're under the whole book now. And you're under the hammer of God. That this hammer is going to fall on your head if you just break one of them. Just one. That's why I called them stupid. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. You want to read about the curse? You can read about it. It's on the handout there. Deuteronomy 27. There's a whole page of curses for you if you want to read how you stumble at any time and you're cursed. You see, when I read that to you, you ought to say in the back of your head, well, what person could ever keep that? Hello, that's the whole point. Nobody. You need a deliverer. In walks Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All right, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things written in the book of the law to do them. So he's saying here, all of you that want to gain entry into heaven by following the Old Testament law, don't forget this other little rule here either. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Verse 26. Look at those three words. Cursed is everyone. And again, this is why the Apostle Paul, who was a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee, this is why he called the Old Covenant law a ministry of death. And he called it a ministry of condemnation. Because the law doesn't and cannot save you. The purpose of the law is to convict you. Hallelujah. Or condemn you if you try to keep it to be saved. All right, now, the purpose of the law, well, I just read it to you, but let me cheat just this one time and read you what Paul's going to teach us next Sunday. And it's in verse 23. It says, before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, this is Galatians 3:24. It says, the law was. Notice the past tense. For all those that try to tell you, you got to still live under the Old Testament. Listen to what he says. And listen to who says it. This is a Pharisee saying this. The law was our schoolmaster or tutor. A tutor was a guardian that was watching a kid up until they hit like 12 or 13 years old, and they were old enough to be given to their father, and they were a responsible age. That's what a paedagogos was back then, a schoolmaster. He says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. Then he says, but after faith has come, listen to this. After faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. That's why Romans says in 6:14, it says, you are no longer under the law, but you're under grace. That's not a license to sin. You don't want to sin now because you're chained to him. You wake up now, at least for the most part. Everyone has a bad day, but you for the most part should wake up and say, what good can I do today? Who can I show some good to? Who can I show some grace to that maybe that doesn't deserve it? Who can I give some money to today? Who can I help today? Who is down and out here today that I can go out and be a light and help them out here? Instead of being out here pondering how much evil you can do. It's not a license to sin. Praise God, he has broken the chains that you used to be bound to sin, and now you're chained to him. That's good news. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.